This is KGNU's Morning Magazine. It's Tuesday, September 7th. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, joining us in the studio this morning will be Zoe Hanna-Makuta, a young local author presenting her debut book tonight at the Boulder Bookstore. We're under yet another air quality alert this morning. We'll hear some tips from health experts on how to reduce air pollution inside homes. And we'll play our weekly comment line, comments from listeners who share their thoughts on what they hear on KGNU. The How on Earth team is taking a break this week. Instead, we'll hear the latest edition of the Got Science podcast, produced by the Union of Concerned Scientists. At 9 a.m., it's the wit and wisdom of Alan Watts, the British philosopher, writer, and speaker, known for interpreting Eastern religious ideas for a Western audience. Then at 9:30, the Morning Sound Alternative. 2.5 hours of eclectic music until noon. But first, it's time for local and regional headlines with Stacey Johnson.
The Boulder County Commission will be holding a virtual town hall this Thursday, September 9th, from 5:30 to 7 p.m. to garner ideas from the public on how to best spend the remaining American Rescue Plan Act funds coming to the county. According to the county's press release, commissioners and staff will explain during the town hall how the federal funds will work and what they can be used for. The funds come from the U.S. Treasury Department, which also limits use of the funds to a set specific criteria. The town hall event will be translated live into Spanish and American Sign Language. Last week, the Boulder County Commission released a recovery plan progress report describing how COVID-19 relief funds have been invested to date. Boulder County was allocated roughly $63 million from the state and local fiscal recovery fund, a provision of the American Rescue Plan Act, which was enacted on March 11th. Per the county's press release, the commissioners approved an initial allocation of $5 million of the American Rescue Plan Act funds and have continued investments for emergency needs that began in 2020. Boulder County residents can sign up for Thursday's town hall at BOCO.org/BOCC_town_hall. Residents may also provide input by filling out an online survey at bouldercountysurvey.com. The utility provider, Xcel Energy, will be conducting a planned power outage starting 11 p.m. tomorrow night and ending approximately 1 a.m. on Thursday for 5,000 customers located in the towns of Netherland, Ward, and Jamestown. According to the Daily Camera, maintenance work on a transmission system is prompting the planned outage as crews need to safely repair and maintain equipment. The Daily Camera also reports that impacted customers who have supplied Xcel Energy with their phone numbers should expect a reminder phone call from the utility prior to the outage. Three unnamed teenagers and their families are plaintiffs in a federal class action lawsuit that was filed last week against the Colorado Department of Healthcare Policy and Financing, alleging the state has failed to provide federally mandated services under Medicaid for children with mental health or behavioral health disorders. KGNU's Steve Miller has more.
The lawsuit claims that the state is failing to provide federally mandated services under Medicaid for children diagnosed with a mental health or behavioral health disorder. The Denver Post reports that the lawsuit hopes to force the state to find a solution for providing care to all of Colorado's children and youth who need it. In some cases, doctors have recommended intensive home and community-based services, IHCBS, to correct or amend their disorder. But the state has been unable to find such placements. The purpose of IHCBS is to serve children, youth, and families with the most disabling mental illnesses or serious emotional disturbances in community settings rather than institutional settings. The state, according to the lawsuit, prefers to rely on hospitals, emergency rooms, and other acute care facilities rather than the more appropriate placements in residential treatment facilities. The lawsuit claims that the state of Colorado system of mental health care for children, that most children are released from facilities with little or ineffective follow-up community mental health care, causing them to repeat the cycle of institutionalization. A news release from Mental Health Care Colorado notes that Colorado is 42nd nationally for frequency of youth mental illness and access to care. I'm Steve Miller for KGNU.
Tomorrow, the city of Aurora will be launching a six-month pilot program that will send a team of mental health professionals instead of police officers to 911 calls involving mental health situations. The city's 911 dispatch will be responsible for assigning what mental health-related calls the team will respond to. According to reporting from Denverite, Aurora's program will operate on a similar basis to Denver's program called Support Team Assisted Response, also known as STAR. STAR has responded to more than 1,600 calls since it began last summer. The Denverite also reports that the Aurora Mobile Response Team will include a clinician from the Aurora Medical Health Center and a paramedic from FLAC Rocky Mountain. FLAC Rocky Mountain will provide the vehicle for the response team, which is expected to operate on a limited basis from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Wednesday through Saturday. The Aurora Mobile Response Team will focus on Northwest Aurora based on call volume research from FLAC Rocky Mountain. In the coming months, Coloradans are expected to get a sales tax refund and a temporary income tax cut as a result of the annual revenue limit required under the Taxpayers' Bill of Rights, or what is commonly known as TABOR, the 1992 voter-approved constitutional amendment. Local governments may also receive reimbursements under the constitutional tax revenue cap. Colorado Newsline reports tax revenues to the state's coffers for the fiscal year that ended June 30th were over 8% more than the previous fiscal year as the state experienced better-than-expected tax revenues due to recovery conditions under the coronavirus pandemic. Under TABOR, Colorado can only retain and spend an amount equal to the previous year's tax revenue or TABOR spending limit, which is ever lower. The annual revenue limit under Colorado's Constitution also makes adjustments for population growth, inflation, and any voter-approved tax increases. According to the state's preliminary calculation, state taxpayers who filed single returns will receive an average sales tax refund of $69 and $166 for joint filers. The state controller will release final numbers after a post-audit annual comprehensive financial report later this year. Starting today, Larimer County will have two new drive-through COVID testing sites open from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday as Colorado attempts to better identify spread of the contagious Delta variant of the coronavirus. The Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment has contracted Mako Medical to operate the testing sites. The locations will be in Loveland at the parking lot of Foundations Church, located at 1380 North Denver Avenue, and in Fort Collins at the parking lot of Timberline Church, 2908 Timberline Road. According to the Fort Collins Coloradan, testing is available for those age 2 and older, with or without symptoms. An appointment and health insurance are not required to receive a test. Today for Denver and Boulder, we can expect widespread smoke with highs near the mid-80s. Tonight will be mostly clear with lows around 56 for Boulder and 57 for Denver. Until 4 p.m. today, there is an ozone action alert for Colorado's northern Front Range counties. The current temperature outside the Boulder studios is currently 57 degrees. For KGNU, I'm Stacy Johnson.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. The Boulder Bookstore is hosting a free event for teen readers this evening. The centerpiece of the event is a book presentation by an author who is still a teen herself. I'm joined in the studio by Zoe Hanna-Makuta, the 19-year-old author of Gearbreakers. Welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
What's in store for attendees of this evening's event at the Boulder Bookstore?
I'm going to be talking about, I guess, just the writing process. To be honest, I haven't sat down and fleshed out everything I'm going to say. It's my first in-person event, so I'm a little nervous. We'll see how it goes.
Well, can you give us a spoiler-free synopsis of your debut book, Gearbreakers?
Yes. It's a it's about an evil nation controlling these 200-foot mecha deities wreaking havoc in the Badlands Desert and the teenage renegades that are charged with taking them apart from the inside out.
And you wrote this book during your senior year at Fairview High School. Who all knew you were in the process of writing a book on top of everything else that goes into graduating from high school?
Oh my gosh, no one. When I signed with my agent after I graduated, like the summer after I graduated, told my parents that I was just, hey, I had written a book, I'm getting signed, and they were very nervous. I literally hadn't told anyone. It was just a thing.
Wait,
I would
you didn't
do
even tell your parents?
No. I mean, they knew I liked writing. They knew I loved writing, and I don't know. It was just a thing I was always doing by myself. Because I'm always like, it's basically just me telling myself the story. So it's just kind of la-di-da until I have to be like, hey, by the way.
I have a book.
Yeah.
So your book has been very well received according to the reviews that I've seen online. I see it's also been optioned for a TV series, and you're currently in the final edits of a sequel. What's going on there?
Yes, it's been optioned for a TV series by Aaron Magnani and Don Murphy, who produced Transformers. So it's like, oh my gosh, it's so weird to put in my head. I have no idea. But and then I am working on the sequel, Godslayers, which comes out June 28th, 2022. Just touching up the final edits on that, and then have a couple more stuff in the pipeline, because I definitely don't want to stick with sci-fi solely. I like fantasy and contemporary and everything else.
So this is on top of book presentations like what you're going to do tonight and attending classes at the University of Washington. Where do you find the time to get all of this done, and how do you protect your energy in a way that allows you to remain creative?
Ooh, that's a good question. Yeah, writing's always been a type of downtime for me, so it's de-stressing in a way, so it's easy to balance it with school. I wouldn't say easy, but definitely when I'm editing over when I'm drafting, it gets a little more harder when it's not just me putting input on it. But yeah, as in protecting creative energy, I think it's just I have to not be so harsh on myself with the first drafts, because they usually do come out really clunky, and just kind of accept that it is a process that takes a long time, and that's just like the medium I've chosen, and it's like a thing I have to talk into myself every time that like it's not going to be perfect until it's a little better, and then it's better.
And finally, something I usually ask authors: whose works are you reading these days?
I just finished Sadie. It's a wonderful YA thriller, but it's like so, it was so, I don't know, just heart-wrenching. I finished it at Flatirons Coffee Cafe, and I had to leave it on the shelf because I could not physically take it with me. It was just wonderful. I'm Courtney Summers.
Well, we've been speaking with Zoe Hannah-Makuta, author of Gearbreakers. She'll be presenting her book this evening at 6:30 p.m. at the Boulder Bookstore. Advance registration is required. Zoe, thanks for stopping by the studio today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Health experts are offering tips for Colorado families seeking shelter from wildfire and ozone pollution, both exacerbated by climate change, to reduce air pollution inside homes. Low-income communities of color are disproportionately exposed to indoor and outdoor air pollution and its negative health impacts. Eric Gladys has more.
During a summer filled with bad air quality alert days across Colorado, children, people with respiratory illnesses, and older residents have been forced to spend more time indoors. Wildfire smoke and ground-level ozone created by exhaust and searing temperatures have been the culprits. Sheila Mankey at Every Child Pediatrics says climate change is already impacting the children she sees, especially kids with asthma.
Kids are particularly vulnerable to the impacts of climate change as well as air pollution just because of their body size, the amount of air they breathe per minute, and just their developing bodies, lungs, brain.
Communities of color and low-income households are disproportionately impacted by indoor and outdoor air pollution and its negative health outcomes. To reduce pollution inside homes, experts say avoid anything that burns, including candles, fireplaces, and gas stoves. Researchers at UCLA found that 1 hour of cooking on a gas stove produces nitrogen dioxide at levels that would be illegal if found outdoors. Families that can't afford electric appliances are advised to use back burners and keep the vent running while cooking. Natural gas burned inside homes also sends methane, a powerful heat-trapping gas, into the atmosphere. Barbara Gottlieb with Physicians for Social Responsibility says lawmakers and industry need to find a way to equip homes and workplaces to run on electricity produced from clean sources and stop burning natural gas.
Its power in terms of trapping heat in the atmosphere is more than 80 times that of carbon dioxide over a short time frame. So for the sake of climate, you want to reduce your use of methane in every way that you can.
The latest report by the world's top climate scientists confirms that less than a decade remains to dramatically cut greenhouse gas emissions and avoid potentially catastrophic impacts. Mankey believes the time to act on climate is now.
We're not waiting to see the impacts of climate change anymore. We're really seeing the impacts now and need to act in a way that we can make a more green and equitable world for our children.
This is Eric Gladys reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And now we check in with KGNU's comment line when we hear what's on the minds of listeners.
Hi, I'm calling about the amazing interview you had with Nebiyu Asafa regarding the Horn of Africa, the Hemisphere Program interview. It was just a wonderful program. I hope you can do more work like that and keep up the great work. My name is Simon, and I just want to say thank you. Bye.
Hi, my name is Helen. Today's program that you aired at 6 o'clock, August 31st, was great. Thank you.
Hi, just want to... Hey, thank you for what you guys are doing, what you guys have been doing, especially about yesterday's program with Nebiyu recognizing the Ethiopian-American community here in Aurora, the efforts that we have been doing and creating a balanced environment and investigating and trying to understand our culture and our community in general. Thank you for what you do again. You have a great day.
Thank you. I was listening yesterday to the Hemisphere interview on East African issues. Professor Prince on the Hemisphere interviewing Mr. Nebiyu Asafa. It was very educational, informative, and a well-balanced presentation, interview. Highly appreciative of the knowledge that the professor brought to the interview. Mr. Nebiyu also is very knowledgeable about the issue, and I appreciate that presentation. It was a good interview. Thank you. My name is Hiram Alamayo from Centennial, Colorado. Thank you.
Hello. I'm so glad you had this interview with Nebiyu, because all this time the truth never came out. Even the American government was not telling the truth. But this time I'm glad you came up with the truth. It was a very, very nice interview. We really appreciate it. And we thank you so much. My name is Girma, G-I-R-M-A, last name T-S-I-L-A-H-U-N. I just want to appreciate your interview. Very nice. Well done. Thank you so much. Bye.
Hi, I'm Abba Nathanael, Archbishop of Colorado. I listened to your interview yesterday on the Horn of Africa. It was very good. Thank you for presenting the truth. God bless you, and God bless your family. Thank you very much.
Yes, hi, this is Jack Mudry, listening from Denver. I heard Rob Prince's interview about Ethiopia last night. That would have been the 31st of August on Hemispheres. An excellent program. I think you should do more of those programs on the local and international scene here. It's very important to know what people are doing. Thank you very much, and kudos to Rob for that.
Hello, my name is Tula, and thank you, Mr. Jim. I was listening to the interview you had with Mr. Nabiyu Asfaw, and Nabiyu is one of the great representatives for the Ethiopian community here in Denver, Colorado, and he's respected by all Ethiopian people. And thank you very much for taking your time to have an interview with Nabiyu, and I hope you understand all the real situation in Ethiopia. I do believe you keep doing the same thing and talking to other people as well. Thank you so much again, and you have a great night.
Hi, my name is Wesson Zina. I'm from Ethiopia. I was listening to Mr. Nabiyu's interview. I'm very happy to hear that. He was a wonderful, great person. He explained everything from you guys. Thank you so much, my friend. Appreciate it.
Well, this Joe McKay, man, the good, bad, and the ugly guy. Well, I just want to make a comment. The music on Friday night was just absolutely awesome. And one of my favorite songs, if not my favorite, from Jimi Hendrix, Power of Soul. That was an awesome rendition of that song. And the other music that you're playing, just absolutely outstanding. So I want to just leave it on a good note this time. Of course, I'm going to mention the bad and ugly stuff as well. But I want to end it with this one today. And the music that you play, a lot of times, is just absolutely outstanding. And really appreciate the music. And I appreciate that y'all don't seem to deliberately intend to play music that's going to irritate people. And you play different genres of music, and I appreciate that. So thank you so very much, and thanks for playing the music that you played the night between, I guess, 9 and 11, and before 9 also. And thank you so very much. Very good. Bye for now.
For many years, I have listened to KGNU's programs on death and dying and appreciated the information. Now, at age 85, I'm confronted with my own health deterioration, and I asked my doctor to put me on hospice and possibly get me lethal medication through the Medical Aid in Dying program. By law, this program requires two doctors to certify that I want to die, and a pharmacist willing to compound the medication. My own doctor was not acquainted with the program, so I had to find two other doctors willing to sign off and file paperwork with the state. Then, by law, I must wait 15 days and state once again that I really do want to die before my lethal drug prescription can be written. Ultimately, it usually ends up being more than 15 days to get the lethal medication. So I wish to emphasize that you, if you or anyone you know is thinking of using the Medical Aid in Dying program, you need to apply as early as possible, because 15 days is a very long wait for a sick person who is ready to die. Thank you for running your series on death and dying, and keeping us all informed. My name is Premina, and I am dying. Thank you. Bye.
If you'd like to share a comment with KGNU, call us at 303-447-9911. We play the messages back on Tuesday mornings at 8:25 during the Morning Magazine. And that's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. Thanks to Stacy Johnson and Steve Miller for their volunteer work on the headlines today. And to author Zoe Hannah Makuta for coming by the station. And thanks to you for tuning in. I've been your host, Shannon Young.